16 years ago today, in the old building that was burned in 1964, I walked in the service and said to the people, many of you were there, there'll be no song service this morning. There'll be no announcements, no special music. I want the ushers to come for the offering. 16 years ago today, many of you sat in stunned disbelief as I had the ushers come immediately. We had no song service, no special number. The ushers came, we took the offering, and I stood to speak. And for 1 hour, I told you under what conditions I'd remain as pastor of this church. 16 years ago today. Believe me, I was in the furnace. We had mayhem, battling, confusion, a church split. I could not let today go as I try to remember every year at this time without thanking from the depth of my heart those people who trusted me 16 years ago today and stood beside me. There'd be no great First Baptist Church of Hammond today had it not been for you. There'd be no Hammond Baptist Grade School had it not been for you. No Hammond Baptist High School had it not been for you. No Hiles Anderson College had it not been for you. Thousands of churches in America would not have been transformed had it not been for you. I will owe to those people who stood by me that morning an eternal debt of gratitude, as will many millions of other people in heaven. What I'm trying to say this morning is that 16 years ago today, I was in the furnace, chosen for the furnace. Father's Day is always a tough day for me. I see, 38 years ago this morning, I bought my first Father's Day present for my dad. I made my first money I ever made with my own hands. I got me a Dallas Morning newspaper route. Got up every morning at 3:30. That's back when the morning papers came before noon. It came before sunup. And I got my first job throwing, had 33 customers, a Dallas Morning newspaper route as a little boy, 10 years of age. I took my first week's pay. My mother sat me down, and $3 what I made, and she put three dimes out of it and said, son, that belongs to God. From that moment to this, God's gotten his dime first. But the first Father's Day, the thing I wanted to do more than anything else was to buy my dad a present. The first time I had any money. And I bought him a present. I do not recall what it was. I do remember he never came home that day. That I remember. I remember how I waited for him to come home on Saturday night. He did not come home on Saturday night. He did not come home all day on Sunday. And on midnight, I waited up to midnight. He never came home all day Father's Day. I can recall when I was a kid how I used to wonder why things were like they were, such as on my sixth birthday, my mother gave me 5 pieces of candy is all she had. My dad came in drunk so often. I did not know then, but I know now, I was chosen as a child for the furnace. I used to wonder why my mother's had such a tough time. It seems like that her life has just been one heartache after another. She had a little girl, lived to be 7 and died. Had another girl, lived to be 7 and died. Had Earlene. Earlene lived to be 7 and lived. 3 heartaches. One right after another. It's been that way all mother's life. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, she goes to the eye doctor to see if she's going to be able to see or have to lose her eyesight and go blind. And it's been that way all of her life. All of her life. I wonder why. I didn't understand it years ago. I understand it now. She was chosen for the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be chosen. Every time anybody walks down the aisle, decides to join our church by transfer of membership, I feel honored myself. I feel like you, boys, we're talking in the front. I feel like that you've chosen me to be your pastor. And you've chosen this to be your church. And you folks that come to Hiles Anderson College from around the world, you've chosen our college and this church. And in a sense, me. It's a wonderful thing to be chosen. You know, Paul was called in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, a chosen vessel. In 1 Chronicles 28:4, Judah was chosen to be the ruler. And in verse 5, it says Solomon was chosen to sit on the throne. In 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11, it says the Levites were chosen out of the 12 tribes to be special servants of our God. In Psalm 105:26, it says Aaron was chosen to be the high priest. In Psalm 132, verse 13, it says God chose Zion for his habitation. Out of all the mountains in the entire world, God looked and said, Zion, I want you for my habitation. In Psalm 135, verse 4, it says God chose Jacob as a peculiar treasure. And in Isaiah 43:10, it says God chose Israel to be his servants. And in John 6, it says that God chose 12 to be his apostles. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. God has chosen us. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, we have listed some of the ministries to which God chooses different ones of us. He chooses, he says, some to be apostles, and then he chooses some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have two more detailed lists of these things which God chooses us to be. He chooses some to be teachers, and some to be helpers, and some to have special faith, and some to perform special miracles, and some to have unusual wisdom, and some to have greater knowledge than others. God reaches down, and God says, I want to choose. I think God has chosen C.W. Fisk, and I cut up with him a lot because I love him. I think God has chosen C.W. Fisk to be a unique trainer of soul winners in this day. I think God has chosen Jim Vineyard to be a man to influence America for the bus ministry, whereby we can reach millions of little boys and girls and poor people and men and women we could never reach were it not for the great bus ministry across America. I think God has chosen Dr. Helton, Dr. Evans, to be administrators at Hiles Anderson College. I think God has chosen John Colston for a unique ministry to comfort so many and visit the sick and bring courage to the discouraged and strength to the weak and that wonderful way that he has of comforting people. God has chosen him for that. And I think God has chosen me to be a preacher. It's a wonderful thing to be chosen of God. But there is a choosing that is seldom mentioned from pulpits. And that is, God chooses some for the furnace. God chooses some for the furnace. All week, this week, I've walked with those in the furnace. When I finally left the office last night, about 11:10 or 11:15, it seemed like all I could hear was an echo of voices and sobs and tears. I thought at the wedding yesterday afternoon, I was a little bit too humorous at the wedding and I felt bad about it. I always try to put some levity in a wedding because in a tragic moment like that, I like to add something that's happy to it. But I realized as I walked away that perhaps I'd been a little too humorous at the wedding yesterday. I tried to be. And I got thinking, I wasn't walking away. I was standing up here on the platform, and I thought maybe I said too many funny things today at the wedding. I want it to be sweet. And I got thinking, I wonder why I do that. And then I thought of a fellow who said to me the other day, he said, I visited your church and you cut up too much. He said, why do you do it? And I said, one reason is to keep them crying. To keep them crying. Then I realized yesterday afternoon that the reason I was a little light, maybe for myself, I was trying to keep them crying. I spent the whole week in the furnace with people. Oh, the calls. Oh, that little lady, Friday afternoon, that called. And her heart was broken in two. Two little babies. Her husband gone. Oldest child, 2 and a half. And the child was standing with the telephone and said, Mommy, where is Daddy? Where's Daddy? The sobs of that lady, who used to be a member of this church. And she didn't want to hang up, you could tell. And then she said, I love you, Brother Hiles. I said, I'll do what I can. And she said, I know you will. I love you, Brother Hiles. Chosen for the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. And that lady who lived out west, who picked up and came to our area with her children, as often happens, and here she has no place to work, and she finally got a job. And yesterday, last Sunday morning, she came to my study without enough money to take care of her food, and I tried to help her a little bit along the way. And chosen for the furnace. And that lady whose husband just left, and she came by the office last week and said, I don't know, my husband's gone, and what'll I do? Chosen for the furnace. I want to say this morning. God chooses people to suffer just like He chooses people to preach. God chooses people to preach to us through suffering just like He chooses some to preach for us through the spoken word. God chooses some to speak to us and encourage our hearts through suffering, just like He chooses some to lead us into music and encourage us through beautiful music. God comes down sometimes to somebody and says, I've chosen you. And look up and say, Lord, I'm so glad. I want you to choose me. Lord, what have you chosen me? Well, you've chosen me to pastor the largest church in the world. Or have you chosen me to sing great solos around the world? Or have you chosen me to be a great Bible teacher in some college or seminary? Or have you chosen me to be an evangelist to speak to great crowds? What have you chosen me for? The Lord looks down and says, I've chosen you for the furnace. For the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. Don't shrink. God chose you for that. Don't rebel. God chose you for that. He chose you for the furnace. Did you leave all back home? Quit your job? Have sold your house or tried to sell it? Left your mom and dad to come to college? And they said, son, you're not going to be able to make it. You don't even have a job. Now, when we moms and dads say that, we mean, well, we'd do it ourselves, and we did it. We don't want you to have to go through what we went through, you know. And did you say goodbye? And your mom and dad said, you're a fool. And especially your father-in-law said, he said, there you take my daughter, and you promised her to provide for and care for her. You take her off some little old college out in Indiana somewhere, and now she's going to starve to death. Did you leave home? Leave your job? Come in an old car, get here at midnight with 14 kids sticking out the windows and flat tire on 3 of the 4 tires. Only to, shortly after you got here, feel a fevered brow in the wee hours. And then the fever wouldn't go down and you went to the doctor. And the doctor told you the sad news that your baby was going to die. Did you go to the hospital and try to speak to him in the last hours, and then did you follow a hearse to a cold, damp piece of ground and lay that little bundle of flesh away? Did you walk back home wondering, I wonder why? I'm trying to serve God. I've given Him everything. I've given up my home, my family, my city, my church, my friends, my job, my house, everything. And now my baby's gone. Why? God chose you for the furnace. That's why. God put you there. Don't shrink at the will of God. Did you give all to God and soon had to give up the one you loved the most? You were chosen for the furnace. Did you work on a bus route and try to do
right and ask God to make you what you ought to be, and then wonder why your child was taken. God chose you for the furnace. Did you give your life to teach in a Christian school? Got a degree where you could make a big salary, and you gave up the public school job and gave up your chances to make money, and you gave your life in a Christian school, and one day you found out your precious little girl has leukemia. That's what one of our men's facing, a couple are facing today. Brought the little girl in my office the other day to pray for, anoint her with oil. Hair was coming out. Little girl, 4 years old, losing her hair. Did God, all of a sudden, did you find out she has leukemia? And you tried to serve God, and you've tried to give Him everything you have, and you've tried to be an encouragement, and you've tried to give up everything, and you did. And now then, this has happened. You say, preacher, why? You were chosen for the furnace, maybe. God chose you to suffer. Did you sacrifice only to see your husband taken? Did you, as one of our families, not buy a house because you're trying to give to the college fund? And may I say, I never take lightly. Never take lightly. I think every week, I have several reminders. Think about the sacrifice you people made to give to the college. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Some of you ladies today have no wedding bands on your fingers because you gave them to the college fund. Some of you little boys and girls in high school have no graduation rings on your fingers because you gave it to the college fund. And some of you live in apartments and instead of buying that house because you gave it to the college fund. And I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I'll never forget it. But did you do it? As one of our couples did, and then all of a sudden in a car wreck was your husband taken. And you can't understand it. You say, why? You were chosen for the furnace. Did you give all to God? I recall that I picked up the telephone and the operator said, a long distance, and a man, Mr. Smith, said, this is Mr. Smith. Reverend Hiles said, your dad just dropped dead with a heart attack, and for just a fleeting moment, and God's forgiven me for it, but just for a fleeting moment, I got bitter, and I said, that's not right. That's not right. I've given my life to be a preacher, and I'm down here in the country making $20 a week, and I got three or four deacons trying to kick me out of the church, and I've been fighting down here for what I think is right, and I've been staying awake at night and crying all night long, and folks call me a nut, and I've got me a lawnmower out as a pastor of the church, going up and down the streets in Marshall, Texas, asking folks if I could mow their yard to make enough money to put food on the table. And for a fleeting moment, I got bitter, and I said, God, that's not right. My dad died a drunkard's death, and as far as I know, died without God and is in hell this morning. And I said, that's not right. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. I was chosen for the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. 16 years ago, chosen for the furnace. And I was reliving my life. And I want to say this morning. If I ever said a true thing, this is it. You never will find a place as sweet as the furnace. You never will. Jesus is dearer in the furnace than anywhere else. The fellowship is closer, more precious in the furnace than anywhere else. By the way, it's brighter in the furnace too, because that's where the fire is. And Jesus is in the furnace. Hey, check your Bible sometime. Where did John the Beloved find Jesus? He saw him on the Isle of Patmos, exile in the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find Jesus? They found him in the furnace. Heated seven times hotter. He was, as the Son of God, was in the furnace. Where did Paul find Jesus? He saw him when he was left outside the city of Lystra for dead, when he was persecuted and stoned to death in the furnace. Where did Stephen find Jesus? He found him in the furnace. Because Stephen was stoned outside the gate of Jerusalem. And there he looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, hey, something, you'll have better fellowship, a sweeter life, more victory, more joy, more fruitfulness in the furnace than you'll have anywhere else in this whole world. Chosen for the furnace. I look back at my life through these almost 50 years now. the sweetest times of my life. And you check my preaching and you'll find I mentioned those times when I was in the furnace more than any other time. The valley is always sweeter than the mountaintop. The fire is always sweeter than refreshing breezes. Loneliness in the Bible is always sweeter than crowds. Hurt is always sweeter than health. Pain is always sweeter than comfort. Sacrifice is always sweeter than luxury. Had there been no fiery furnace, we wouldn't even know who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. Had there been no stoning outside the city, Stephen would not have been blazoned, had his name blazoned in history, history of the church. I'm saying, chosen for the furnace. And so this morning, after a week of, I haven't been in the furnace myself. I think a few sparks have gotten on me. And I haven't really suffered any this week myself, except as I suffered with others. But I've walked up to the edge of the furnace this week and tried to holler encouragement to many people in the furnace. And I'd like to say to several hundred of you this morning that are in the furnace, I'd like to say that Jesus is there and fellowship is sweeter there. Some suffer in the furnace for a brief time and some suffer for a long time. I was thinking about little Phyllis Penton down here. I think about you more than I tell you, Phyllis. Little runt. 2'10". One of the finest little ladies you'll ever know. How old are you, Phyllis? 32 years old. Don't get used to her riding that little tricycle around her all the time. She was chosen for the furnace. I told her yesterday, after the wedding, we ought to hire her to be the permanent flower girl for all our weddings here and just ride that tricycle down the aisle for all our weddings. But what an encouragement she is to me to see her sitting over here in the corner. It's not easy for her. Don't you think sometimes she'd like to be able to walk like you do? Don't you think sometimes she wishes she could have been normal size and could have had a husband and a family? Huh? Don't you think so? Well, why? God chose her to ride a tricycle. And brother, if God chooses you to ride a tricycle, rejoice in it. Chosen for the furnace! Some folks stay in the furnace all the time. Is Erickson back there? In the furnace all the time. Never gets out of the furnace at home. Has to crawl around the house to get around the house unless somebody pushes you in a wheelchair. Chosen for the furnace. As I said a while ago, my little mother, chosen for the furnace, and many others. Now, I say this morning, it's not easy to be in the furnace. I have not lived there much. I have visited there, I think, quite often in my life. I have not been chosen for the furnace to stay there all the time. Most of my days are good days, but I live with people. Most of my life is with people who are in the furnace. My appointments are with people in trouble. A young man who's gone into sin. And by the way, let me say a word to you. Listen carefully to this. When somebody goes into sin and they realize it and they've asked God to forgive them, let's don't keep knocking them down. I mean, when somebody does something, I don't care how dark this sin or how scarlet this sin. I mean, When they you can't undo it, it's done. Now, if they come to you in repentance and sorrow and they ask God to forgive them, they're trying to get back up. Don't kick them back down. Help! Lift them up! I'm not saying that you ought to, a fellow goes out and gets drunk and goes to a tavern and kills somebody, comes back and gets right, you ought to take him out to eat every night, let your daughter go steady. I'm not saying that, but I am saying an encouraging hand, a God bless you, I'm praying for you, I'm with you. That's the thing that pleases our God. Chosen for the furnace. I've been your preacher now almost 17 years. I was thinking last night, all I've seen. I'm going to talk to you just for a second. Listen to me. I just want to chat with you a minute. I've learned a few things in these 17 years. in these 30 years of preaching, one thing I've learned is to forgive, and God knows that's true. I've learned to forgive. Folks, none of us is perfect. All of us make mistakes. We ought not to get bitter with each other. They ought not to rise up in the church here, feuding, bitterness between God's people. Oh, but you see, you don't know what she did. Did she crucify you? Did he drive nails in your hands and spikes in your feet and put a crown of thorns on your head? Huh? I've learned forgiveness. I've learned something else with the years. I've learned nobody's perfect. I could walk over this entire building and just stop it, person after person, and tell some orneriness about everybody here. I think I'll just start up here on the platform. Dr. Helton knows that since he's been here a time or two, well, I've never bawled him out. He knows a time or two he's disappointed me. Brother Fisk one day came to my office and said, Brother House, I'm going to go be an assistant pastor somewhere else. I said, God doesn't want you to do it. He said, Brother House, I know God wants me. I said, God never wants anybody to leave me. And that day, we hugged like a couple of brothers and mingled our tears, and he said goodbye, and I was disappointed. And one day I was out in California preaching. He drove 100 miles or so to get to me and said, Preacher, I want to come back home. I want to come back home. He's disappointed me a time or two. But look, I've disappointed him some too. I'm imperfect too. My feet are made of clay too. I put my breeches on one leg at a time too. You pinch me and I hurt. And you prick my heart and I hurt. And I'm a human. And I'm far too human sometimes. But look, we're God's people. God's put us together here. We ought to love each other. We ought not to have fights and bitternesses and feuds. We ought to love each other. Oh, I tell you, he did me wrong. Well, good night. Listen, I've done folks wrong too, and so have you. I'm simply saying, I've learned this too. I've learned through the years that there are a lot of people in life who will never preach a sermon behind a pulpit or sing a solo or teach a Bible class. But there are a lot of wonderful preachers sitting in this room who preach to us sermon after sermon after sermon, who've never stood on this platform, but whose faith in the furnace is a constant sermon, whose joy in the furnace is a constant sermon, whose patience in the furnace is a constant sermon. I will not try to name all of them, but shall we ever forget? Can I ever forget the great saints of God who've passed by my path marching like an army through these years? Not chosen to serve as missionaries on some distant field. Not chosen to pastor great churches. Not chosen to edit great papers. Not chosen to write great books. Not chosen to head great schools. Not chosen except for the furnace. Chosen to suffer. Chosen to weep. Chosen to be alone. Chosen to say goodbye to a little baby. Chosen to say goodbye to the dearest friends of life. Chosen for the furnace. Chosen for the furnace. This morning, are you in the furnace? Do you feel those flames torching your body? Do you have a little bronze shoe on the mantle? Or do you have his suit hanging in the closet that he'll never wear again? Or do you have the picture up on the hearth? And you got 10,000 memories inside your heart. Don't shrink. Just rejoice. That's where Jesus is. Chosen for the furnace. Two thoughts. One is, those of us who are not in the furnace, let's help those who are.
Let's encourage those who are. This morning, and I won't quit now, I was just looking down the aisle here. I was looking at Barbara Pope. Her husband's an evangelist. Barbara, when are you going to get saved next? Third week of July, she'll see her husband the next time. A lot of you ladies wish you wouldn't have to see yours till the third week of July, don't you? But they just got married. They just got married. This is the third week of June, a whole month before she sees it. I mean, sees it again. I just kept on going. Kate Bennett, I won't tell you, but I looked at Kate Bennett down here this morning. One of the miracles of God's grace. You wouldn't know her life before she got saved. I mean, hippie life. Someone witnessed to you on the street one time, didn't they, Kate? Anyhow, she got, and God's completely transformed her. But the scars are there. And the past is there. She says, like David, my sin is ever before me. Chosen for the furnace. Makes it sort of better, doesn't it? God chose you for that. God chose you to suffer. God chose you to be in the furnace so you can be closer to His Son and preach sermons to those of us outside the furnace of encouragement and joy, comfort. Chosen for the furnace. Father,